Hey, everybody, this is Michael Sweet of Striper, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire, and rock is not dead.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. Featuring from Striper, a man not afraid to have a cigar once in a while, Michael Sweet.
I'd like to welcome back to the program, Michael Sweet. Michael, we spoke about a year ago. We had such a good chat. I really wanted to have you back on. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just prepping and packing for the tour, the Striper tour that's coming up.
Now, you got a lot of stuff going on right now, but you mentioned the tour. Real quick on that, you mind if I ask how Oz is doing?
You know what? Oz is doing well. He's he's been on a special diet and taking care of himself. Getting checked on a regular basis, and he's in a good place right now. I mean, they're still keeping an eye on him. You know, the spots that he had on his brain, they felt were at the time inoperable, and, you know, they didn't want to do a biopsy. So they've just been keeping an eye on things, and so far, so good.
Forgive me if this has already been covered a lot, but is he back touring with you right now, or...
He is, yeah. He toured with us. He came. He went out and did the last run last year, and he's touring with us this time around. And you know, we're just kind of counting our blessings each day, and hopefully, it's going to keep going this way. You know.
Yeah, right on. All the best to him, obviously.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate that.
The Stripers are barking on what you're calling the history tour. You want to explain that a little bit? Like, what do you mean by history?
Actually, it's the Kistery Tour. We're opening for Kiss. No, I'm only kidding. I didn't know you painted. What it is, basically, the History Tour is it's giving people a better understanding of our history. So all the songs and the bands and the music that we grew up with that kind of molded our lives, and not just ours, but many of the fans as well, you know, we're going to just kind of give people a glimpse of that and perform 10 or 11 covers. And then, of course, 10 or 11 classic Striper songs, the songs that we grew up with, the bands Judas Priest, Van Halen, you know, all these bands. And we're mixing it up a little bit. We've got some surprises in there, maybe some unexpected songs people might not expect. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man.
And so that sounds like a pretty long show. Well, I mean, have you
Yeah, people need to come early and expect to stay late, bring sleeping bags. It's a 6-hour set. No, it's probably going to be at most a 2-hour set, probably even a little less than that, about an hour and 45 maybe. There's going to be roughly 20, 21 songs.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned history, and I thought of something that at least wanted to share with you. After we spoke last time, I got your book, and I'll confess, Michael, one of the things that I never really kind of bought into with Stryper was I happened to know first, hand how hard it is to put a band together where you just got four guys who are not only on the same page, but able to do the job, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the fact
that you guys were able to do that, and also all of you have strong conviction to the faith, I was always skeptical on that. And you actually do a very good job in your book breaking down how that actually came to be. So for what it's worth, you've changed the skeptic's mind. I thought I'd share that with you.
Well, good, man. You know, writing a book, I learned the hard way. Writing a book is not easy.
I think you did a good job.
Well, it's tough because obviously – you know, you want to write from the heart and you want to be very open and honest. But at the same time, you don't want to be, or at least I don't want to be, nasty or, you know, I don't want to just be a negative guy and, you know, tear people apart like a lot of books do. And when you're telling a story and other people are involved, you kind of have to have those other people in the story, you know? Yeah. And not always is it a good story. So I did my best with that book, man. I tried really hard to keep it light and positive and encouraging. And I'm glad to hear that. It sounds like you might have enjoyed reading it.
I did. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was well done.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that. It's awesome. Okay. Wait till the next book. You're going to hate it. No, I'm going to kid.
Yeah, all right. we were talking a little bit about the tour there. It's been over a year if I got my math right, and it's okay if I'm not. But Perry, I assume everything's going well. How's he a good fit?
Yeah, man. Perry's a perfect fit. He's amazing, and we love him. We're very blessed to have the guy in our band. And things just worked out. Firehouse lost him years ago, and we got him years later. And it's always interesting to me how life works itself out that way. But he's a big Stryper fan, and we're a big Perry fan. And he's shown us pictures of him meeting us years ago when his band Max Warrior opened for us. So way, way back, it was actually CJ and Perry. They were in that band. And here he is, a part of Stryper now. Incredible.
Plus, he actually moves around on stage.
You know what, man? Not only does Perry move around on stage, but he smiles. You know, he makes it known. He makes it known that he's really happy to be here.
Yeah, I caught you guys at Grand Rock Timber in Hinckley at the end of last summer, and that wasn't the first time I saw it with him. And it was great, actually. I thought it was kind of an upgrade as far as the previous shows I had seen. But
Look, I'll tell you, it really is. And you know, nobody knows that better than us because we're playing with him and locking in with him, and you know, we can kind of from the stage really feel the machine working. And Perry is a solid player, man. You're not going to find a better player than Perry. And you're not going to find a better singer. If you want someone to sing and do those harmonies, you're not going to find a better guy than Perry, man. He's got a really strong voice, great pitch, great powerful vocal, great bassist, and he looks cool. He's got his hair. He's moving around. He's smiling. He adds a lot of energy to the show.
Yeah.
And it's definitely an upgrade. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's brought a lot to the table, man. He really has.
Yeah, I can concur. Yeah. I witness here. So.
And, you know, with him being as good as he is, he makes us want to work harder to be better, if that makes any sense.
Of course it does. Yeah, I think most people can relate to that. So.
Yeah.
When you show up and you're working with people that seem like they give a damn, it makes you kind of care. So,
it really does, man. You go the extra distance and mile to make it work. And not that we haven't always done that, but Perry's just kind of took things to a new level and kind of set the bar. And we love having him, man. We're very blessed to have the guy in our band.
Right on. You know, a couple times over the, it came up recently, I know, and I've seen it before, but you've made some blabbermouth headlines with your comments about producing a Van Halen record. Rather than dig into that, I got a quick question. Why don't we talk, what's your favorite Van Halen record, man?
I love early Van Halen, everything with Roth.
Yeah,
and, you know, it is funny because in the Blabbermouth, in the interview with Blabbermouth, I only talked about One, Two, and Women and Children.
Yeah.
And that's not to disregard Fair Warning and Diver Down.
What about 1984?
Or 1984, of course. anything with Roth, I mean, my opinion is, and trying really hard to set aside the fandom and the memories that go along with that, my opinion is that, you know, the Van Halen, early Van Halen with Roth was the better Van Halen. And the reason why I say that is because of the energy, and, you know, there was some kind of a fire lit under all of them, especially on those first three albums and tours, that was undeniable.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah, Sammy's awesome. He's a legend. He's amazing. They sounded great. They had hits with Sammy and sold a ton of albums. Not to take any of that away, but, man, you know, I miss the old Van Halen, and I personally believe that while they're still alive, I don't care how old they are, okay?
Yeah.
If they can still play and sing, that their best album still lies within them.
Sure. I think that's always been the underlying comment that gets glossed over with just a headline. But
yeah, of course. And I was just speaking out of respect, nothing but respect for Van Halen, okay, coming from me. You're never going to hear any disrespect. And I felt like as a producer, writer, singer, guitar player, you know, that I would be a perfect candidate to help make that happen. And for people to laugh at that, that's fine. You can laugh all you want, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true.
I wasn't laughing at you. I just love the confidence.
It's beyond confidence. I mean, I have a lot of confidence, but if I don't have the track record to back it up, sure. I got nothing. And I think I have the track record.
Well, I'd be down for it. Did you like A Different Kind of Truth at all?
You know, not really. I mean, I liked portions of it, and I respected the fact, like, okay, we're getting something rather than nothing.
Sure.
But I just felt like it was somewhat thrown together. It was old songs redone, and people hadn't heard a lot of the material, and I get that, and that's all great. We've done that with certain songs, but you know, it still didn't have that fire to it that I'm referring to.
Yeah, I gotcha. I felt like the first listen was like a kind of a time warp, but it subsequent follow up listens, you know, it starts to feel like it's missing something. But
and see, Eddie's the greatest rock player of all time.
Yep.
Alex still has it. Michael still has it. If Michael's going to be involved on this hypothetical Michael Sweet producing Van Halen album. And then you got to give Roth credit too. People say Roth can't sing anymore. I don't agree with that. I totally 1,000,000% disagree with that. I think Roth, when I hear Roth sing or talk through the songs, he still has his range. Sure. And he not only still has his range, but he still has his power. He doesn't sing the melodies, but it's still there. And I think it's just a matter of, not, I don't want to say retraining, but, you know, re-steering David in that direction to sing again like he used to. And it, I think he can. He still has his voice. I love David. David's got more attitude and charisma than anyone ever to pick up a mic, you know?
No doubt there. Have you ever met him?
You know what? I met David briefly, but he wouldn't remember it. He was in front of the Forum. We were going to see Van Halen, and we met Alex and Eddie and David. They were walking around the parking lot.
Wow.
And they were maybe having a smoke or whatever and going into the venue. And we met him briefly, and I was a kid. I was young. And then I met him again. He wouldn't remember this either, but he came pulling up to the Troubadour on his bicycle. And this was back, way back, okay, in like 1982, maybe. Yeah, this is way back. And he apparently lived nearby, and he pulled up on his bicycle, came in and had a few drinks, and I went up and said hi to him, and he said hi, and that was it.
Well, hey, we'll switch gears here a little bit. With Bohemian Rhapsody in the dirt making all sorts of noise, when exactly can we expect a Stryper biopic?
Well, we're working on it, man. we're working on a documentary, a very unique, special documentary. It's going to take us a couple years at least to finish. Nope. But
you're actually doing a documentary?
Yeah, we started work on it already.
Oh, right on.
But I mean, it's the very first stages of it.
Yeah. I prefer documentary over biopics, but
it's a documentary. It's not a biopic. We're not going to have actors portraying us and cheesing it out like that, you know, but it's going to be cool, man. And what we're going to do is lots of live footage and never before seen footage of the band. I'm talking way back when we were playing high schools. We're going to incorporate some live footage. We're also going to incorporate a lot of people whose lives have been changed through Stryper being interviewed.
Cool.
So people that you'll never expect. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, so like people that are known, though.
People that are known, people that are not known. But yeah, the people that are known, you'll watch and you'll say, I would never have thought that.
Just a real quick touch on Sweet and Lynch. Is that pretty much kind of a done deal for now, or is there more coming down the line, you think?
I don't think so. I just talked to somebody in an interview. Basically, it comes down to, you know, we got a certain amount of money to do the first few.
Uh-huh.
And now the budget has dropped considerably. And I'm one of those guys, I don't like to cut corners so much that it compromises the quality. And people will say, well, someone else could do it and produce it and do it for a lot less. To me, that's a compromise, you know. I'm real picky about who's behind the wheel. And it's got to be the right person, whether it's me or someone else for that matter. But in order to do it right, it takes a certain amount of money and effort and a way of doing things. And I just don't want to compromise it and go backwards. And then, you know, I don't know. George is pretty busy. He's got himself stretched out. I don't know if he's into doing another one. And, you know, I don't see it in the foreseeable near future, but who knows?
Tracy Gunn said going forward that he's doing something with you that's going to be called Sunbomb. When can we expect something from that?
Tracy and I are working together. It's basically Tracy's album.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to say it's a solo album, but I think it might be with the name Sunbomb. And then I'm singing on it. So he asked me to sing on it. And it's funny because he sent me one song and I loved it. And he said, "You want to sing it?" And I thought, "Oh yeah, dude, I'll sing one song." You know, and he goes, "No, the album." So I just thought, "Oh man, I wonder if I have time to do that." And it worked out. We were able to reschedule things and figure it out. And I'm singing the entire album, and it's going to be cool. It's going to be a really different side of Michael Sweet. And I love Tracy. Tracy's a talented guy, a legendary guy. And, you know, I've gotten to know him over the past few years, and just a great dude, man. So I'm thrilled to be working with him.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely sounds something that I know a lot of our listeners would want to get into, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I really enjoyed the Sweet and Lynch stuff, so any kind of stuff like that, I guess we're all just clamoring to get right now.
Well, man, I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm sure you already know about the solo album. There's a solo album next. Well, I just finished it, just wrapped it up. It's being mastered now. As a matter of fact, when I get off the phone with you, I need to listen to the new recall of the master.
Okay.
And it's really cool because I wanted to make it a little less Michael Sweet or slash Striper. So I brought in a different player for every song, and every song has its own stamp and its own signature now. But it all, some people might say, well, that won't work, man, because everything's going to sound so different. It's not going to flow and be, you know, cohesive and whatnot, but it is. It's very fluent and it flows beautifully and it all works. Everyone nailed it. I mean, knocked it out of the park when it comes to guitar solos. And I'm talking about guys like Jeff Loomis, Gus G, Andy James, Joel Hoekstra, Marzi Montazzari, Ethan Broche, Rich Ward of Fozzy. Oh gosh, I've got Tracy Guns. Man, I'm missing a few. Mike Kerr. There's a different guy on every song, and I'm on a song. I'm playing a solo on two songs actually, and then I'm playing all the rhythm guitars. But man, I got Todd LaTorre on a track. We're doing a duet. It's a killer album, and I mean, I'm super excited for people to hear it. I can't wait.
You've actually been teasing a lot of the details as you've been recording it on social media, which of course I love. Am I getting the right vibe that this is going to be kind of a very much a hard rock metal kind of record?
Yeah, it's a hard rock metal album. It's a follow up to One Sided War, if you heard that.
Yep.
But I think it might have just a little more metal to it.
Okay.
With songs like Better Part of Me and Son of Man and Lay It Down, you know, those are real just metal, Priest, Maiden-esque kind of tunes.
Cool.
I can't wait for people to hear it, man. It's an exciting time, and you know, it's the toughest part with making an album for me is being patient enough to wait for it to come out.
Yeah, I mean, when is that? Do we know yet, or?
Yeah, we were looking at June or July. We had to move it to August, and now it's official. It's definitely going to be September. And the reason for that is we don't want to release the same time a lot of other albums that are in the same genre coming out. We want to set it up properly. We want to do it right. We don't want to just throw it out there and rush it, you know?
No, I get it. It's called 10, is that right?
It's called 10 because it's my 10th solo album, believe it or not, and more importantly, it's the song, the title track, is based on the Ten Commandments.
Okay. So there's, you'd be bringing some religious overtones to the lyrics on this like you do with Striper?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Son of Man, you know, Todd and I are singing that, and it's basically about the second coming, you know? But it's done, and it's not done in a preachy way, in a way that makes you go, oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to hear this. It's done in a very relatable way. And I can only say that because Todd sang on it. You know, and Todd's an atheist.
Okay.
and Todd didn't have any problem singing it. And we talked about that. And it's just the way the lyrics are presented, it's just done in a very relatable way, and that's the only way I can put it. And I think people are gonna hear the album and go, "Wow, okay, it's powerful, man.
Cool.
It really is."
I mean, you are who you are. I think, especially at this stage of your career, there really shouldn't be any need to I don't know, explain too much more than that, you know?
Yeah, and I'm never going to run from that or hide from that. People know who I am, and you either accept it or reject it or love it or hate it, and I get both sides of the fence, and that's fine. It's to be expected.
And it sounds like you enjoy a cigar once in a while.
I enjoy a few cigars.
Yeah.
And I enjoy a few glasses of bourbon, and I get holy hell for that.
Yeah, whatever.
But, you know, again, that's Michael Sweet, man. Accept me or not. And that's fine. Not everyone's going to accept that.
I'm all for that kind of attitude. I think it just makes for a happier life if you just kind of just embrace at least who you are. First,
yeah,
you're
man.
Gonna find that people are gonna be more positive to you, you know, if you're real anyway.
Yeah, and it's just the path that I've chosen. I mean, I'm in the middle, and I know it. I wake up every day knowing it, and I just kind of go through it and down the path with a smile on my face. And I'm gonna get stones thrown from both sides. I just posted the other night, you know, about Game of Thrones. Like, that was the best 90 minutes of TV I've ever seen. Yeah. And I had people saying, yeah, I agree. And people saying, I can't believe you watched that show. It's just the way it is.
Oh, man.
I mean, I could eat a candy bar and I get it from both sides.
Yeah, that might have been some of the stuff that got me out of church.
Well, but see, here's the thing. I've always reminded myself that my faith isn't put in the church.
Sure.
My faith isn't put in man. My faith is put in God. Now, is God up there saying, I can't believe you're drinking a bourbon? Heck no. He might even be having a bourbon himself up there.
He's tweeting spoilers.
Exactly. This is the thing. People, Christians seem to get so caught up in their own little spiritual world that they fail to realize that there's a bigger picture.
Well,
it drives me insane just as much as it does you.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, exactly. I get it. That's all I'm saying there. Looks like I'll be seeing you in Nashville this summer at Rockin' Pod.
I will be there, man. I'm coming in. I believe Dave Ellison's going to be there as well.
I think he had to cancel with the Ozzy tour being they were going to open for Ozzy. Now his calendar is different, and I think it was just recently announced that date they're playing somewhere. So
okay. So who else is there?
I should have known you were going to nail me on this. Well, the only person I care about is Michael Sweet, but no, there's Chris Sinzak is going to shred me. I should have.
It's okay, man. It's all right. Well, the fact that I'm a guest and I don't even know, that's even worse.
Oh, well, I've been there all three. This will be the third year, and I've been there the previous 2 years. It's a blast. I know Erie Vaughn is going to be there. He was there last year, I know.
Awesome.
God, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just drawing a blank. And
Well, hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I hope people come out. I'm going to be signing some autographs, and I'm also, I think, going to be jamming a few songs. They have a jam on Friday night. I'm going to be doing a few songs for the band. So,
right on.
Really cool.
Have you ever heard that band, The Rock and Roll Residency? You know anything about
them? I have not. No.
They are. They were Gene Simmons' touring band, and now they're doing Ace. But they were like a house band locally in Nashville. They are amazing.
Oh, good, man. There you go.
Yeah,
cool.
They're, you're definitely going to enjoy playing with them. But I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you. Hopefully we can find a couple minutes of time to talk to you there. But these things are kind of crazy, so we'll see how it goes.
You know what? I'm sure there will be plenty of time to talk. We'll find a corner, Friday night or whenever we can, and we'll make it happen.
Right on, Michael. As expected, this was a pleasure. I love having you on the show. You're welcome back anytime. Maybe sometime we'll just have you on and we'll talk Van Halen. We'll just break down every record. And
well,
what you would do different.
You, dude, I'm a huge fan. And, you know, Van Halen was the band for me that changed it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Halford changed me as a vocalist. When I heard Diamonds and Rust live from Unleashed in the East when I was in sophomore in high school. For the first time, I was like, what the heck? But Van Halen was what really changed it for me and made me want to be a better musician all around, you know? And it lit a fire under my butt, man. And I think they're the greatest American rock band of all time. Some people argue that it's Aerosmith. Some people argue that it's, you know, Boston. Some people argue that it's whoever, Cheap Trick, you name any other American rock band. But man, if you were able to, in a time machine, put all those bands on a stage right now in their prime, Van Halen would smoke them all.
Yeah.
Smoke them all.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Oh, yeah. They would have. Basically, they were not the band you wanted to follow.
Sure.
You did not want to follow Van Halen in their prime.
Ozzy can testify.
I think a lot of bands can. I know Boston played with them. Black Sabbath played with them. Journey played with them. And I think if you interviewed all those guys, they'd probably all say the same thing.
Right on. Michael, thank you so much for your time. All the best on the tour. This stretch is not coming my way, so I'll catch you next time. But all the best, brother, with everything, man.
And I'll see you in Nashville, man.
Yeah, right on, man. I'll buy you a whiskey and a cigar.
Perfect.
All right,
there,
man.
There you go.
Take care.
God bless, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Excuse me. Hey, Jason. Michael Sweet here. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing? Doesn't sound too good.
I'm doing good, man.
Okay.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.